I'm Jim Rickard from Stewardship Services Foundation, and this is the question for today. What is the most untaught principle in Scripture regarding stewardship? It's the principle of generosity. You know, there's over 2,350 verses in the Bible about money and material possessions. And when you study those verses and the context of those verses, you see a major theme developing, and it's called generosity. Money in the Bible is an issue of generosity. It's not how much I have, it's how generous I am with what I have. And that controls everything when it comes to the spirit of generosity. If my heart is right, stewardship-wise, it's because I have a passion to be generous. And when I have a passion to be generous, everything flows from there because I'm dealing with the right heart. If my passion is to be generous, I'll never allow credit cards to control my life. If I have a passion to be generous, I'm focusing on taking care of the needs of my family, protecting my family from a catastrophic occurrence, giving to the Lord's work, providing for my family in a way that's biblical and it's godly. When I allow credit cards to control my life, that becomes a hindrance. I'm not taking care of the needs of my family. I'm not protecting my family from a catastrophic occurrence. I'm not planning for the future because money controls my life. Now, when we go to Scripture, one of my favorite texts is Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. Verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where you put your money is where your heart is." How you handle your money is an outward manifestation of what's really going on in your heart and life. So if you've ever heard me teach, you'll hear me say this phrase. After we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, one of the most important issues we're going to have to master after we give our life to Christ is how we handle our money. Because where we put our money is where our heart is. Now, when you think of the issue of generosity, let's look at 1 Corinthians 16:2. Sort of starts here. Give as God has prospered you. That's what it's talking about. Don't be stingy. Be a giver. Be generous. You know, stinginess is not in the Word of God. Generosity is. How generous I am is the issue. You know, folks, when I go to bed at night, I don't want to be known as a stingy person. Oh, that Jim Rickard guy, you know, he's stingy. No, I don't want to go there. Hey, somebody may say, you know, that Jim Rickard guy, he's generous. He's way too generous. You know what? I'll sleep like a baby because I know I'm doing what the Bible tells me to do. I have peace in my heart. I put my head in that pillow. I sleep like a baby. So 1 Corinthians 16:2, give as God has prospered you. Now, as we flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8, talks about the abundant grace of God. The first benefit to those who are generous, God loves a cheerful giver, verse 7. And the Greek word for cheerful is hilarious. It's God loves a hilarious giver. You know, when you look at verse 7, it starts out, "So let each one do as he purposes in his own heart. Giving is always voluntary. We are free to give from a willing heart. It's not casual giving. It should be purposeful giving. We give with no reluctance. It's not what we have to do. There's no pressure. We give because it's in our heart. Tithing can be legalistic if we're not careful. If we come to church and give because we sense we have to give, there's a possibility we could be giving grudgingly. Folks, if you ever find yourself giving, particularly to the Lord's work, grudgingly, you might just as well stick it back in your pocket, because you're dishonoring God. You know that little phrase for God loves a cheerful giver is not said anywhere else in Scripture? It's only said right here. We know from God's Word He loves all people. That's John 3:16. Everybody listening to this could quote that verse. 1 John chapter 4 tells us God loves us in a special way. Matthew 5 even tells us that God loves His enemies. Do you realize that when you are a cheerful giver to the Lord's work, you're in a special class of people that God loves uniquely? You are uniquely loved by God when you are a cheerful giver to His work. Now, the second benefit to those who are generous is whom God loves, He lavishes. Whom God loves, he lavishes. Now, we're not talking about health, wealth, prosperity theology we see counterfeited on television today. We're talking about the abundant grace of God and how it works in our heart and life. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 there, verse 6, it starts out, you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Verse 7 says, you give cheerfully. Verse 8 says, God will pour out abounding grace to you. You give, God gives back all grace. God gives back so we can do even more. It comes back to the heart. It comes back to the motive. It goes like this. If you're generous, God will allow you to continue to be generous. If you're generous, you'll receive generosity. Folks, you've been in Bible studies. You've been in a church service when they've had testimony time. And you've seen people stand up and give a testimony about you can't outgive God. That's not smoke and mirrors. That's what the Bible teaches. Do you realize that God's plan for prosperity rejects hoarding money? God's plan for prosperity demands that we give it away. That tests one's very faith. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10, you give, God will refill everything. Proverbs 10, 22, God blesses the faithful giver. Proverbs 20, 27, give to the poor, you will never want. Isaiah 48, 17, and 18, if you would have done what I told you, I would have flooded you. My favorite is Proverbs 11, 24, and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases all the more. Then there is one who withholds what is just due, but results only in more want. Ever watched the life of a stingy Christian? Ever watched the life of a stingy person in general? They're never satisfied. Enough is never enough. You know why? They're stingy. They're only concerned about self. Those two verses conclude with this sentence, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. If you're generous, you'll receive generosity. If you're generous, God will allow you to continue to be generous. You know, three things happens to a person who's generous, a believer who's generous. Number one, it breaks a chain of selfishness in your life. Generous people are not selfish people. Number two, it'll humble you. You know, folks, there are times when this country goes through difficult times. People lose their jobs. People have a tragedy in their families, and they have financial needs. You know, when we have the grace of God working in our heart and life, and He allows us to come along someone in need and put our arm around them, say, you know, I'm not just going to pray for you. I'm going to come alongside you financially. I want to help you make that mortgage payment. I want to help you with that utility bill. I want to help you with your groceries so you can feed your family. That's humbling. Number three, to place a loose grip on your possessions. Because we know from God's word, He owns it all anyway. It's God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The silver and gold is all His. It's not ours. He's just loaned it to us to serve Him with and to enjoy. Number one principle, it's generosity. It's generosity. It's not stinginess. This is Jim Rickard from the Stewardship Services Foundation with a question for today.